A warm howdy now on Tape Relay to our regular Legal SB joining us on the phone from Austin, Texas. This month in your ATX series, Lee, it's all about 6 degrees of separation or thereabouts. In our exploration of Texas music, we're moving on to a selection of bands that are loosely affiliated to you, Lee.
Yeah, these are all very loosely affiliated. That's God's honest truth, Lee Tran.
So we'll start off with, first up in this bunch, it's probably the most well-known of the bands, I Love You But I've Chosen Darkness.
Yeah, I Love You But I've Chosen Darkness. We've known several of the members for a good number of years, playing either shows with the members' different bands or playing in bands with them, or you know, just going to see whatever insane project they had going at the time, which there have been many a strange side project pop up from these guys, so... It's weird to see, I think, this group sort of come together out of bands that were members of the Trance Syndicate, maybe third wave, kind of. Chosen Darkness had members initially of Windsor for the Derby, I Love You But I've Chosen Darkness. So they've just always been at it, trying for years and years and years. These guys are actually considerably older even than us, I think, with the sort of average age. Well, no, I can't say that. That's not totally true. But most of the dudes are closer to 40, and some I think even over 40 years old, although you know, never know just by looking at them, and certainly not by the music itself, you know.
Where do you think their sound comes from? It has a sort of a darker, maybe more 80s sort of feel to it.
Yeah, I think it comes from those guys, you know, like I said, being their generation slightly and being right place, right time. And they were coming of age when bands like Echo and the Bunnymen, The Cure, Susie and the Banshees, all that stuff was still when those bands were making their best records. And so they were able to absorb that and translate into something. You know, I was still just a little too young to, although, you know, like it, not really do anything about it. Like, you know, I wasn't going to start playing shows because I was so in love with that music. It just wasn't a possibility for me. These guys, however, it's just always been something that kind of stuck in their brains and influenced their other bands. I mean, Windsor for the Derby certainly had some of those leanings, or especially in the early days, a real minimal kind of menacing presence. And Paul Newman, you know, those guys, especially in the later records, you can hear New Order and stuff like that. The Cure throughout those records, you know, chorus abounds. I mean, that was definitely a central feature of 80s production, so on and so forth. So those guys really grew up with it, and it's just something that they had always wanted to say, this is what we know how to do this. You know, like, there are a lot of people doing this, but we really know how to do this because we grew up with it.
Just on a side note, you mentioned that some of the guys from this band had come from that third wave of Trance Syndicate stable of artists. Can you sort of talk about these kind of waves that you might have seen in the label?
Yeah, definitely. The first wave sort of trance is, you know, really noisy. Like we talked about previously, like, you know, the Butthole Surfers kind of spawn, you know, that, and, you know, bands like the Butthole Surfers and Scratch Bassett stuff spawn, like, this kind of super scary, psychedelic, twisted kind of acid damaged, you know, aggressive music. You have bands like Dust and the Pain Teens were part of that, who were definitely leaning the industrial edge of that whole thing. And then bands like the Cherubs, I mean, a lot of their and like pedals and stuff were made. I mean, they were made out of parts of like garage door stuff to turn their effects on and off. They were really, really poor, but really, really scary and menacing. Heavy distorted bass, really driving noise rock, you know, of the highest order. And then it shifts a little bit. You know, you get Bedhead signing to the label, and then things take a slightly more, you know, diverse turn for a little while. And then the label gets with Bedhead, and I think shortly after that, Winter kind of like comes on scene. And Austin music changes a little bit. It gets a little bit more spacious, less than, you know, not necessarily spacey, although that was part of it because there were bands like the Furry Things that were very, very, very effects heavy and aggressive, but not in the way that previous bands had been. Then you get like Windsor sort of bridged the gap between this more mellow but kind of dark. And then Paul Newman, who had been around probably roughly the same amount of time, but they were definitely working in your sort of post-rock territory. And, you know, Analog Set in weird little ways would push that area as well. Especially once we got to maybe the third record and we really figured out how to play together. And Paul Newman got a little bit more gentle around their second and third records too. So we felt like we were just poking at those kind of post-rock edges a little bit of the more spacious end of things. So while I can see bands like Paul Newman and Windsor and us in that second wave, along with Bedhead, I also see us kind of pushing it to a slightly different direction, which I think of as more kind of a last wave of the label when right before it had started to fall apart.
We'll hear now from I Love You But I've Chosen Darkness. This is from their album released in 2006 on the secretly Canadian label. Fear Is On Our Side is the album, and the track is According to Plan.
Love you places where
That was I Love You, But I've Chosen Darkness, featuring a couple of members of other bands like Windsor for the Derby and also Paul Newman. From the album Fear Is On Our Side, we heard According to Plan. And now to a band who is probably, I'm not even sure if they're actually on a label as such, but they do feature someone who worked with you in American Analog Set in the early years.
Yeah, Sean Keefe has, I don't remember how we even met Sean, but he's like a guy that was from the Dallas-Fort Worth area where we all sort of grew up, but we didn't meet him until we came to Austin. Sean played guitar in the band a little bit as a side guy, sort of just to fill the space. He'd done sound for us, great into us. And Sean has been sort of playing in bands and going to school and playing in bands and just kind of back and forth. And then he actually works for South by Southwest in the interactive portion of the festival. And so he's been out of playing music for a good number of years and then had always wanted to really get back into it. And I think he's a great guitar player and a songwriter. So when he told me that he had a band back together with some of the guys, actually I think everybody except Sean was in a band called Winslow, which were sort of one of those bands that was kind of unsung and people were really into, but they just for some reason didn't last too long. I was really happy about it because, and weirdly, I think people have sort of always compared Winslow to us, to the American Analog Set. So having never been able to see them, I was excited to see, like, what the connection was. And I was blown away. I mean, even the worst possible scenarios, Sean and those guys are capable of putting on a great show, and the songs are really, really strong, especially for a first effort, self-released EP. I think Paper South has not been as active, I don't think, as I would like to have seen them in the last year or so. But I hope that that situation changes because I think they're fantastic.
This is the Paper South, Ready or Not.
Thank you. two, three, four.
Speaking to Lee Gillespie on Tape Relay as part of our regular ATX series, and we're looking at some of the bands that have a connection to Lee himself as a member of the American Analog Set. First of the two songs we've just heard came from the Paper South, Ready or Not, and right then Andrew Kenny, one of the other core members of the Analog Set, with Secrets of the Heart from the Know By Heart demos.
Yeah, this song was actually a demonstration for the Know By Heart record. There was a bunch that weren't used. This ended up being one of them just because, I don't know, it's just a little too perfect on its own. And this demo is different even from the way that the one on the home EP, that the split with, appears, because it has this really, really like Merton Ebo part at the end. And it's always been one of my favorites just because it really just takes off and does something that then you would expect from where the song starts off, but still managed to be under control, and that's sort of what Andrew Kenny does best.
As you mentioned, Lee, the song didn't actually appear as an Analog Set song, but appeared on a split CD that Andrew released under his own name with Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie as part of the home series on another then Austin label called Post Palo Records. Did it take long between deciding it wasn't going to be an American Analog Set song and then it coming out as a solo effort?
Yeah, it took a little while, and I think that, you know, I think Know By Heart came out in 2001, and that demo had been presented as, you know, I think he did demos in two ways. So there were just a couple of cassettes worth of songs together with, you know, his full band. So yeah, it took a good little while for him to sort of decide, okay, the song just may not work, you know, in the context of Analog Set, and I'm just going to use it for this EP. And I believe that that song is the only kind of Analog Set holdover that I'd ever heard end up on that EP, but I think it's perfect in that setting.
So did he sort of run it by the band first? Because the song is attributed to Andrew Kenny rather than Analog Set, which I understand why, but, you know, it's always interesting to note at which point the solo song becomes a band song or vice versa.
Well, Analog Set has never been the type really to jam, so is responsible for really guiding the ship and making sure that what he provides initially is on course. But, you know, it's always been Kenny's seed that started all of those songs. Oh, well, 99% of them. So, really, I have a confession to make in that I kind of always prefer the demos to the Analog Set versions. You know, I'll still listen to the demos because to me they're just you know, while Analog Set is fairly minimal, those songs as demos are so fragile and so perfect to me that I would like to hear the song in its original form, you know, record attributed to Andrew Kennedy, because I would be pleased as punch to just be able to go through all those songs and hear how they are the same but so very different at the same time.
So from what Andrew's doing now, which I guess since the Analog Set hiatus, Kenny's been seen playing in a newer band, Ola Podrida, who we'll hear next.
Dave Wingo, who is the master of ceremonies in Ola Podrida, is another guy that we've known for years, a good friend of Sean O'Keefe, even from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, while they were still in Dallas-Fort Worth, and was probably how we were introduced to Dave Wingo. But he's moved back and forth from Austin several times to the Pacific Northwest, to New York, and, you know, back again, back to Dallas. And a guy that we always knew wrote songs, but just had never managed to put anything together. But, you know, he's had successes in his own right, in that he's also good friends from the Dallas-Fort Worth area with David Gordon Green, who's the director of, you know, George Washington, All the Real Girls, the upcoming Pineapple Express. So he had been doing music for David over the years, scoring the movies along with another guy named Michael Lennon of Trans-Syndicate. They released their first record on Trans-Syndicate named Monroe Mustang, who, again, is in that sort of third wave of the trance stuff. But, yeah, he just never had a band put together, and he finally put one together, and then they lost their bass player. Well, around that same time, they sort of decided, David decided, I need to make more money than I'm making down here, and I can do commercials. He's also done commercial work for U.S. television. So he moves up to New York, and I knew that Ken hadn't had much luck doing anything besides just playing like the odd sort of like solo show. So I said, why don't I play bass for David? They don't have a bass player, and you know him well. So it seems like a perfect fit to me. And indeed, it worked out well. Although now back here in Austin, and I think that the drummer of Ola Podrida, Matt, is trying to lure David back to the South again. So we may see that band come back together here in the South. But they just did a tour of Germany and played All Tomorrow's Parties, the Explosions in the Sky curated one. And I think they had a great time. So I can see that being a real possibility, that David would come back to off and continue Ola Podrida with Ken as a Texas band again.
This Ola Podrida self-titled album came out on Plug Research, which is an interesting label to be releasing a record like this. Plug Research is normally known for more electronic stylings from the likes of Dentel, Daedalus, and Flying Lotus. What do you make of all of this?
You know, I did not tell you. I remember hearing that from David. Like, he told me, you know, I think Plug Research wants to put the record, and I was really shocked about it, just because, yeah, I know the pedigree of their particular roster, and so I think it's great. I think it shows that at least among that group, there is a desire to be diverse.
Yeah, I think on record, rather than seeing them live, perhaps it's a little bit more obvious because there's a little bit more sort of textual elements to it, with maybe his film composing background coming into play. I think when you see them live, it's still quite a, you know, like a folk pop band, really.
Yeah. I think that hearing the record first is a good prescription to seeing them live, because what you lose in the live setting that's on the record, I think, is made up through a good amount of energy and a good amount of dynamic, without being just like loud, quiet, you know. They are definitely going to, and when, you know, when you and I saw them, in fact, at Waterloo, David's voice was totally shot, and he still just, you know, did it anyway, just everything he had. So I think that at the very least, you know, you'll get an engaging performance, if not every textural sort of aspect from the record.
As always, it's a pleasure talking to you, Lee. Look forward to catching up with you next time. We'll end this edition of the ATX series with a couple of songs with girls' names as titles from the self-titled Ola Podrida album. This is Cindy.
Everything Walk down the street, smell of fire.